welcome to Taboo Tuesday. This is Talita.
This is Andrea.
This is Kat.
This is Kika.
Taboo Tuesday is a safe and non-judgmental space to explore taboo topics together. Come in with an open heart and mind and normalize conversations, question our biases, and break barriers of beliefs. Taboo Tuesday. Unlearn, learn, empower. Hello and welcome to Taboo Tuesday's first podcast episode. With me, Talita Setiadi, Kat Halim, Andrea Gunawan, and Gita Syahrir, who you'll get to hear from very, very soon. This is our very, very first episode of Taboo Tuesday, which previously to this had been our weekly clubhouse session every Tuesday. So we finally made the move to podcast, which is something that we're very, very excited about. And we've decided to start our first episode to talk about our childhood and how we all grew up so that you can get to know all four of us much, much better. So do you want to say hi, girls?
Hi.
Hello. Thank you so much for being here. And I'm very excited that we finally started our podcast together. So as you guys listening at home would probably already know if you followed us on Clubhouse, that Taboo Tuesday was initially started so that we could have a safe and non-judgmental space to explore taboo topics together. So what is taboo, right? The definition of taboo is actually a social or religious custom prohibiting or forbidding discussion of a particular practice or forbidding association with a particular person, place, or thing. So basically, it's a prohibited or restricted by social custom, right? So all of us, me included, must feel like we grew up in a certain way, like we were told to be a certain way, or there are some conversations that we shouldn't touch upon because it may reflect on us differently or badly, right? So basically, Taboo Tuesday was initiated. Actually, it was by me in the beginning because I was really, really impressed by Andrea Gunawan, who is Dea. We're going to refer to as Dea, who is, I saw, very, very vocal and mostly about taboo things. And if any of you guys have seen her Instagram, at catwomanizer, she was always very openly talking about sex or sex toys or, you know, sexual health, you know, wearing, revealing lingerie and things like this, like on a very conservative country. And like Indonesia, I always thought that she was very, very liberated. And realizing that I myself had a fear of self-expression, I had a fear of being judged, I reached out to Andrea and asked her if she would want to come on Clubhouse with me so we can discuss taboo topics together. Yeah. So, and then after that, it was, I contacted Kat, right? Afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Kat, I always kind of observed her from the distance. Why? Because we actually lead, in my opinion, very similar lives. Like we were both entrepreneurs. We both have very similar circles. We kind of know the same people, but we were never like that close. I've always just kind of seen and observed her and realized from a distance without really talking to her that much. Like we're pretty similar people. And also watching her social media posts juga kayaknya, wow, I think we're going through the same things like body image issues and all of these things. Jadi akhirnya I reached out to her as well.
Thanks for having me.
And then also I contacted Gita because Gita I've known for a while and I've just always been in awe of her wisdom and how frank she is and how much she doesn't care about how what other people think. Like she's always just been so authentic, and the way she thinks is also very out of the box. So these are the three girls, guys, that I really, really look up to and I really admired. So that's where Taboo Tuesday come about. And as the episodes go, you'll hear from all four of us hosting different episodes and talking about our own experiences. And we'll take turns talking about our experiences and we'll take turns hosting as well. So you'll hear from all of us. But what I noticed so far and what I really saw that what brought us together was that we're all very driven by self-development and always wanting to learn, always wanting to achieve, always wanting to experience and do many things and break through our fears. And what I really love about these ladies are, like, they're so vulnerable and they put themselves out there and they're so brave. And I want that to rub off on me. And I want their wisdom. I want their bravery. I want their vulnerability. I want their honesty. And I want that to trigger the same things in me too. And that's why our first episode is about childhood and growing up. Because I feel like these experiences in our past really shape us to become who we are today, right? So without further ado, maybe we can talk about each of our Taboo Tuesday ladies. And maybe each of them can just have a little introduction and share with you who they are, right? So let's get to know them. Maybe we can start with Andrea Gunawan. Hi, Dre.
Hi, Talita. Hi, everyone. So glad kita ketemu lagi di podcast akhirnya.
Yeah.
Buat teman-teman yang belum kenal, nama gue adalah Andrea Gunawan, also known as Catwomanizer di Instagram dan juga YouTube dan Twitter. I'm a sexual health activist and content creator.
Yes. Thank you, Andrea. And next we have Kat Halim. Kat.
Thank you, Tal. Hi, everybody. My name is Kat. I go by Kat Halim. I'm an entrepreneur and I talk a lot about mental health, a lot about eating disorder and body positivity throughout my whole Instagram. So thanks for having me.
Awesome. And next we have Gita Shahrir.
Hai semua, nama saya Gita, saya itu adalah entrepreneur dan saya juga content creator. Saya sering ngomongin tentang mental health dan juga apalagi tentang racial issues, gender equality, dan banyak topik-topik sosial yang lain. Salam kenal!
Nice. Maybe before we go into our childhood and our growing up as a child, girls, can we talk about how your experiences has been, like, coming together in this Taboo Tuesday concept? And, like, so far we've had, I think, 10 or 11 episodes on Clubhouse. Like, what has your experiences been so far? And what are you excited about exploring more in our podcast? We can start with Dea.
Ini tadinya kita cuma, tahunnya cuma one episode aja ya. Tiba-tiba it's a... Tiba-tiba our calendar tiap Selasa udah di book indefinitely.
Nice.
Yeah, and I'm so excited to share a lot of things with you guys juga and then with our audience. Supaya hopefully we can learn together and then inspire each other juga.
That's so true, Andrea. All right, kalau gitu, Kat, can you let us know about your experiences so far? Gimana experience-nya doing Clubhouse with us?
Right. So, like, I think, like, what Drea mentioned, right, it was very surprising untuk sebenarnya kayak ngelanjut sekarang mau jadiin podcast. Karena satu, nggak nyangka bahwa sebenarnya banyak banget topik atau isu-isu di luar yang actually it's just so hard to talk about. And I think my biggest takeaway having all of this like episodes is that there's this safe, non-judgmental space that people can come onto, share about their thoughts, curhat, terus share about like what we should do. And I think the best part of having these sessions were I learned a lot, and I believe that semua orang yang datang ke sesi-sesi kita juga learned a lot. Like, one of the things that I learned was 5 things you need to talk about before marriage, that because gue masih belum di usia gue mau nikah atau pengen nikah, tapi being able to actually hear what other people's fears or just basically feeling not alone, I think that was really, really my biggest takeaway.
Thank you, Kat. And tadi kan Andrea sempat bilang kan kalau basically tadinya cuma hanya mestinya cuma hanya satu episode yang kita record on Clubhouse, terus akhirnya menjadi 10 lebih, dan akhirnya sekarang ada podcast, kan. What have you found, like, maksudnya, like, collaborating with us girls, pengen tahu juga, apa sih yang dirasain, like, ada caranya kita kerja sama, atau caranya kita punya pemikiran beda, like, what have you thought about this experience?
Aku kan udah kenal kalian semua, udah beberapa tahun terakhir, cuman nggak pernah hanging out kita semua berempat, satu sama lain, kan selalu separately dan independently. Jadi sebenarnya aku itu selama ini cuman pernah melihat satu sisi setiap orang sebenarnya, kalau kita pikirin, ya kan. Nah, dengan kerjasama berempat, seperti yang kita lakukan sekarang, yang aku suka lihat adalah betapa walaupun kita mungkin ada perbedaannya, tetapi kita juga banyak similarities-nya. Dan menurut gue itu sekarang ini kita sering masyarakat nggak suka dengerin satu sama lain. Sering masyarakat menganggap diri kita itu terlalu beda satu sama lain. Padahal yang aku lihat malah kalau semakin kita mencoba mengenal satu sama lain, makin kita lihat similarities kita. Ternyata Talita nggak beda-beda jauh sama Kat atau dengan Andrea, atau aku nggak beda jauh dengan Talita dan Andrea dan Kath, dan suka aja sih ngelihat bagaimana kita berevolve bukan hanya sebagai teman tetapi juga sebagai personality kita sendiri.
That's so true. Soalnya kan kita sering banget ya, kalau aku talking from my own experience ya, sering banget tuh I compare myself to other people. Kayak wow, kok bisa ya Andrea like se-expressive itu, atau wow, kok bisa ya like you know Gita kayak serajin itu ya baca buku, atau like there's so many things that I myself realize that I have insecurity gitu. Dan tadi kita juga bilang bener banget, soalnya kadang-kadang kita malah terlanjur ngejudge orang atau udah feel insecure duluan sebelum sebenarnya kayak kita ngenalin orang itu tuh how did she become the way she is gitu.
Gue ingat banget one of the things that I ended up doing was untuk ngeposting tentang condoms.
Oh, yeah.
On my like Instagram, and gue tuh sharing ke kalian tuh, aduh gimana sih, kayak gue takut banget nih.
Bener banget.
What are people gonna think about me? They're gonna think I'm a bad woman or a bad girl. I have say sex before marriage. And gue tuh sendiri ya, dengan experience itu, gue belajar loh bahwa, wah ternyata banyak banget limiting beliefs yang gue itu punya. Like contohnya I'm so scared of people judging me. Itu kan balik lagi ke mungkin kayak pas kecil ya, kayak pas kecil like the way that we express ourselves was we were restricted. Terus kayak hal-hal yang sebenarnya kalau ngeposting tentang kondom, actually I think kalau sekarang gue lihat ya, it's actually practicing safe sex.
That's so true.
It's practicing like safe, protected sex, and it actually protects you more so than it protects the guy. Bukannya kita promosi free sex, tapi at the same time, I think that was so powerful, that small little like event for me, itu powerful banget. I felt like liberated. I felt like ternyata itu semua hal-hal yang gue kira akan terjadi itu, it's only in my mind. I don't know if you guys, like if you girls felt the same way.
Banget Kat. Dan as we already mentioned before, aku merasa tuh aku paling similar dengan Kat lah. Pokoknya our issues are similar. Dan aku juga waktu itu pertama kali posting tentang lube and condoms is because of this Taboo Tuesday thing, right? And because of Andrea juga. Jadi why don't we go straight to the source nih, ke Dea, dan tanya Dea, like, why are you the way you are? Maksudnya, what made you this brave? What made you this vulnerable? Dulu, how did you grow up sampai lu tuh bisa seperti ini sekarang?
Percaya atau enggak, Tal, it's because I was so, apa ya, dulu tuh benar-benar I grew up from a very conservative and traditional parents, family, karena gue itu, I came from a long line of priests.
What?
I know that. Jadi sebenarnya itu like gue lupa ya, great 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 grandfather gue, jadi katanya dia kabur dari China and then ke Jakarta, Indonesia, ke Batavia at the time dong. For some reasons dia form an ally with the Dutch people and then bikin gereja.
Wow.
Gitu. Itu jadi Gereja Kristen Indonesia, by the way, GKI. Yeah, that was my family. So jadi karena gue dulu apa ya, menurut gue sangat dikekang, quote unquote, sama my family. Jadinya gitu gue udah mulai dewasa, gue jadi rebel. Gue jadi kayak, jadi kayak sekarang gitu, Tal. Jadi gue lebih
kayak sekarang.
Jadi kayak anjing liar begini ya. Bukan anjing liar sih, tapi lebih kayak. Jadi karena gue datang dari keluarga yang sangat limiting, sangat mengekang, jadi gue bener-bener strive buat kebebasan, dan kebebasan itu buat gue itu makanya kelihatan lah dari media sosial gue. Gue berusaha mendobrak apa ya, stigma-stigma yang ada juga. Makanya kayak kalian tadi ngomong, mungkin kayak gue akhirnya quote unquote jualan, bukan jualan sih sebenarnya, gue lebih share tentang responsible sexual behavior, yang mana orang-orang jarang ngomongin tentang keperawanan, tentang patriarki juga. Dan itu yang gue lihat kita semua ada benang merahnya di situ sebenarnya. Dan tadi tuh gue juga pengen bilang sebenarnya dari kita berempat ini, awalnya kita juga gak tahu ya, mungkin gue berasa sempat intimidated misalnya sama Gita. Atau sempat just realize bahwa kita semua punya insecurity. Kita semua pernah ngerasa intimidated sama seseorang. Dan kalau kita mau kenal satu sama lain lebih dalam, itu we realize that we all have dreams, we all have fears, we all have, apa ya, we all have our own traumas gitu loh. Jadi sebenarnya we're all the same gitu.
Ya.
Yeah. Iya banget. Actually Andrea, like itu wow. Like I didn't realize. Maksudnya you came from a conservative family dan akhirnya the way that you express yourself on social media itu a response to that kan. Gimana Gita, do you have any response to Andrea?
Aku masih shock. No, I mean, gimana ya, gue udah kenal dia udah sejak tahun berapa ya waktu itu, mungkin udah berapa tahun sih?
2016.
Oh wow, time has passed. Iya, jadi aku emang gue kenal Andreanya dan memang gue nggak pernah benar-benar trace lineage dia gitu. Jadi sekarang untuk mendengarkan bahwa ya ampun dia itu keturunan dari GKI is shock.
Ya, dan kayaknya sebenarnya kalau lihat my family itu semuanya majelis gitu. Jadi mungkin surprising banget dan of course awal-awalnya keluarga gue juga kaget banget pas gue pertama kali mulai ngomong tentang kesehatan seksual. Of course mereka kaget. Cuma akhirnya mereka sadar bahwa yang gue lakukan ini benar-benar ada impact-nya dan itu positive impact ngebantu orang dan makanya dari situ gue juga yakin this is the right path for me. Even though it's not easy at all. Namanya juga kita tinggal di Indonesia kan ya semua.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That's so amazing, Andrea. Let me talk about my insecurities first and then move on to my next insecurity with another one of you girls. Okay, so we already covered about my insecurity of expression and how I connected that with Andrea and seeing how she's so free to show who she is on social media, kan? Misalnya nih, let's go to Gita. Like, Gita, my insecurity with Gita actually is...
What?
Yeah, I have an insecurity with you, man.
Whoa, okay.
And like, you're so intelligent. You're so intelligent, you're so well-read, you're like... Kayak you're so sure of yourself gitu loh. Maksudnya you bukan orang yang kayak terlalu, kayaknya gak terlalu labil, gak terlalu kayak, you always seem to me like you're very decisive and you know what you want. Could you talk about like how you were like brought up and your childhood? What do you think made you the way you are today?
Kita tiba-tiba ngomongin tentang podcast, aku udah kenal lineage-nya si Andrea, dia baru jelasin dan ternyata legendary. Terus Salita baru ngejelasin bahwa dia ada insecurity when it comes to me. I'm learning so much. I wonder what's gonna happen, Kat. Kalau tentang self-confidence goal, iya, kamu bener, Tal. Aku memang dari dulu selalu punya a very strong sense of self. Jadi, nggak tahu kenapa ini confidence-nya dari mana, is it founded? Probably not. Tetapi yang penting, aku memang sejak kecil unapologetically me. Dan itu mungkin harus aku jelaskan sedikit. Aku itu waktu kecil, aku nggak ngomong selama 6 tahun. Jadi aku benar-benar mute, dan setelah itu ngomongnya hanya... meripit apa yang orang lain bilang. Jadi kalau ada yang nanya, Gita mau makan apa? Aku selalu jawab, Gita mau makan apa? Dan itu aku bisa ulang 50 kali. Itu namanya ekolalia. Nah, itu aku lakukan sampai kira-kira umur 12 tahun, aku akhirnya mulai bisa punya conversation yang lebih normal. Dan bertahun-tahun kemudian, aku didiagnosa autistik. Dan autistik itu adalah sebuah kondisi neurodiversity. Neurodiversity itu artinya memang otakku itu desainnya berbeda gitu. Bukan berarti aku kurang, bukan berarti aku inferior, tetapi artinya memang cara aku berpikir, memproses informasi, cara aku juga ekspres informasi itu berbeda. Jadi
jangan melihat hal-hal yang berbeda dari kita sebagai sesuatu yang kurang atau inferior. Nah, tetapi kenapa aku selalu bisa confident? Karena kakakku sejak aku kecil, aka mungkin honestly dia paling umur 5 tahun ya, dan ini dia nggak ngerti neurologi, nggak ngerti psikologi, nggak ngerti apa-apa, dia itu hanya anak kecil yang memang hatinya sangat pure. Jadi dia itu selalu defend aku abis-abisan kemana-mana. Oh. Kalau aku nggak ngomong, aku kan dikata-katain, oh si Gita bego, goblok, bodoh, aku itu sampai dipukulin anak-anak yang lain, terus guru-guru sering marah-marah sama aku dibentakin, dibilang kamu itu gak bakal pernah jadi apa-apa. Tetapi kalau dengan kakakku, dia selalu bilang, enggak, Gita unik, Gita gak mau ngomong aja, kenapa sih kamu paksa dia ngomong gitu. Jadi sebenarnya yang menarik adalah dia itu ngajarin aku dengan hatinya yang pure sebagai hati seorang anak, bahwa aku itu enough the way I am. Aku nggak usah ngikutin standar masyarakat atau standar apapun. Jadi itu adalah pertama kali aku merasakan bahwa aku nggak usah perform untuk earn cinta seseorang.
Wow.
Aku itu deserving of love whether or not I do anything. And that's very powerful. Jadi yang lain cuma melihat kita itu nggak bisa ini, nggak bisa ini, nggak bisa ini. Karena aku juga belajar ABC 1, 2, 3 itu terlambat semua. Hmm. Jadi aku sampai nggak naik kelas segala. Nah, tetapi bisa aja kan dibilang, oh Gita bodoh. Atau bisa dibilang Pandu malah ngomongnya enggak. Dia memang mungkin pikirannya terlalu beda. Mungkin dia unik aja. Mungkin dia ada pemikiran yang keren yang kita nggak ngerti.
Wow.
Wah, lihat nih. Hmm. Adek gue keren, dia itu pasti sekarang dia lagi mikirnya sesuatu yang complicated gitu. Cuman kita nggak bisa ngerti. Nah, imagine kalau misalnya segala hal yang kita anggap sebagai kekurangan, kita anggap sebagai kelebihan. Atau kita anggap sebagai sesuatu yang memang kita nggak ngerti aja, tetapi nggak ngerti bukan berarti kita nggak sayang. Gitu. Jadi, I think because of that, even setelah aku belajar ngomong, dan aku mulai kelihatan lebih quote-unquote normal, you know, menurut standar masyarakat. Kenapa aku sampai sekarang masih bisa punya confidence itu? Karena aku percaya bahwa aku itu deserving of love, whether or not I do anything. And that's actually a very powerful lesson.
Wow, Git. And like what you said that resonated with me the most was when you said, kita, why don't we look at kekurangan kita itu sebagai kelebihan atau keunikan, kan? Like, who told
yes.
us kalau sebenarnya itu kekurangan? Like, who gets to decide that, right?
Yes. Yeah, society decided. So it's up to us sebenarnya. Kita mau dengerin society atau enggak? Karena society kan labil. Society pasti ganti opini terus. Nah, it's up to us. Kita kapan kita memperbolehkan orang lain untuk live our life dan menentukan confidence kita.
Ini benar banget sih, Git. Jadi tadi thank you so much for bringing it up juga. Kayak ngomongin tentang semua yang berbeda, semua yang unik itu bukan kekurangan. And we are here to challenge the norm juga gitu loh. We are here to challenge our assumptions. Semua yang kita percayai, ya, our beliefs, itu semua tuh boleh. Boleh dipertanyakan, boleh di challenge gitu. Ya nggak sih? What about you, Kath and Alita?
Yes.
Setuju. And gue itu juga kagum ya, karena aku pernah kerja for Gita. I worked with her for about 2 years. Dan sebenarnya dia adalah salah satu inspirational figure for me.
Oh banget.
She really encouraged me untuk kayak pursue things. Karena gue itu kayak sejak kecil tuh, gue itu takut banget gagal. Like failure is like something that I don't like. I don't like being not in control. I don't like not knowing. Jadi pas gue itu pindah dari kerjaan dari bank ke kayak a startup, right, for Gita, I was very scared. And dia itu yang reassure gue untuk kayak, ya udah, like you're so young anyway. What do you have to lose, gitu. And I think she has this courage and she has this bravery that's just so powerful. Gue gak tahu ya, sampai sekarang gue masih kayak treat her as like one of my like guiding lights, I believe. Because one is she's way older than I am. Two, she has experienced so much stuff that I haven't. And third, she never judges for whatever shit I go through. And I think a part of growing up, balik lagi kayak ke childhood, gue inget banget, when I was an adult, there are so many things yang gue sadar ya. Satu, wanting to really fit in, wanting to really be accepted, itu keluarnya dari kayak cara gue consume, like materialistic goods, cara gue kayak manipulate my body so that it looks like a typical Indonesian skinny girl. The way that I uphold myself in my relationships just because gue gak mau single, gue gak mau keluar dari toxic relationship, gue gak mau kelihatan gagal. So I think as I was older, gue baru sadar bahwa gue itu kayak I am a people pleaser. And this is a large part of like growing up, right? Talking about childhood, gue itu sebenarnya sejak umur 6 atau 7, gue udah dikirim ke Singapura untuk sekolah. Di saat itu gak ada nyokap atau bokap, my parents weren't there for me. And I felt very lonely. I felt like I was abandoned. So a lot of the things that happened, satu, gue harus independent dong. Gue mau gak mau, because as a kid, I had to grow up and be dependable on my own two on feet. Jadi it really really shapes the way that I behave as I was growing up. Satu, takut gagal. Dua, gue nggak suka minta tolong sama orang lain. And probably Talita, you might resonate with some of these stories. What are your stories?
Yeah, Kat, to be honest, like what I'm most insecure with about you was how I noticed you could be friends with everyone gitu loh. And me, dari kecil tuh minder banget. Like, I've always felt like I couldn't fit in. Gitu, kayak bener-bener gak bisa berteman di sekolah. I was the type yang emang belajar terus, yang stay in the library terus-terusan. Bener-bener that nerdy Asian kid. Soalnya aku juga besar di New Zealand kan waktu itu.
Yeah.
Jadi, tapi pas aku sebelum pindah ke New Zealand pun kayak juga tidak tahu bagaimana cara berteman gitu. Jadi, when I saw like, Kat, like, you're such a social butterfly, you know, kayak, I was like, wow, like, how does she do that? Gitu loh, Kat. That's my insecurity with you, just so that you should know.
Thank you for sharing. Mm-mm. Ada bagusnya, ada gak bagusnya ya. I think there's always balance.
Do you think it has something to do with your upbringing, Tal?
Like, actually, I reflected on this, yeah. I guess it's the love language that I learned from my parents when I was a kid. Benar-benar masih very young, like under the age of 7, itu adalah, it's very transactional, you know. Kayak, maksudnya, my family is not very warm. Jadi, we are very cordial, tapi nggak, bukan tipe yang kayak showing our emotions or showing our love. And maybe that's a very common thing juga, kan. Tapi, how I knew to show love to my mom and to my dad is to achieve. Jadi, dari kecil itu, tahunya ya, aku harus dapat 100% di tes, biar mama papa tahu kalau I love them, or so that mereka love aku juga gitu. So my love language was achievement and success. Jadi dari kecil itu my mom literally kalau mereka kayak kita tuh jarang, walaupun kita nggak, ya kita nyaman lah, kita nggak kaya banget, nggak miskin banget, but it's just very normal, kita nggak dibeliin apa-apa ya, mungkin jarang dikasih hadiah, tapi misalnya dikasih hadiah itu hanya setelah kita mengumpulkan 10 tes yang hasilnya 100%. So it's not only one test, it's 10 tests of 100%.
I relate so much, Tom. Sorry, I relate so much.
Yeah, dan itu baru dikasih kayak boneka lah, atau boleh dibeliin buku komik lah, atau just to show like, love is when I achieve. Jadi, mana ada gue punya waktu untuk berteman. Why would I spend my time to socialize when I know that I can spend my time studying, or I can spend my time achieving and destroying and all these things. So I think kayaknya, for me, it just wasn't worth it.
So,
and I never learned.
So did you feel, Talita, as if you have to earn the love? So it's not given to you, it's not unconditional, it's conditional? Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Conditional, transactional, and maksudnya I've made peace with this. Then I do not blame them, my parents juga. And you know, we have to, again, like the whole premise of this first episode is to understand how we've been brought up and how it made us the way we are, and how you get to like demystify why we judge each other when we don't understand why they are the way they are. Kan, judgment is from the superficial level only. Kan, like misalnya kita enggak spend the time to understand why.
Kalau gue nanya dong, kayak when did you first realize that like the kind of love that you've always received itu transactional banget, like it's very conditional?
Only recently ya, maksudnya baru tahun 2016 mungkin,
right,
akhir 2015, right. Akhir 2016 dimana like actually I had my spiritual awakening. I had a moment where I just felt so empty. I had some failures in my business, I had some failures in my relationships, and I was like, wow, what the hell am I doing wrong? I thought I've been doing everything right. You know, I thought being perfectionist is good. You know, being uncompromising is good. Being like self-directed and fiery is good. Having tunnel vision is good. I thought by putting force into something and by achieving, kayak, everything will be okay. Tapi it turns out everything was falling apart, kan? So it wasn't until I really did spend the time to go into my spiritual journey. I went into meditation. I went on some spiritual retreats, and I really realized, wow, ternyata the time where I was brought up as a child, itu really shaped me to be who I am today. Dan I have to re-question that lah, kayak, ini masih berguna nggak ya buat aku dan perjalanan aku ke depannya.
Right, thanks for sharing. Kalau Drea, Gita gimana? Gue tuh pengen juga nanya, kayak, have there be any moment that you realize apa yang lo sekarang lakukan itu sebenarnya bisa banget ke trace back ke your, say, your childhood?
Honestly, for me, itu gara-gara, sebenarnya gini ya, we've all learned about attachment style, misalnya, kenapa kita pilih atau jatuh cinta sama orang yang tipenya seperti ini, misalnya, atau kenapa kita kok kalau ada di masalah percintaan, masalahnya tuh yang kayak gini-gini aja, ini kenapa sih? Sebenarnya kan kita udah belajar tuh tentang attachment style, tapi kalau gue personally, it's because when I had those problems, then akhirnya gue ke psychologistnya baru pointed out, dia yang minta gue trace back itu kena waktu umur 5, umur 6, umur 8, itu gimana? Dan dari situ gue baru sadar, oh iya, apparently I have abandonment issues juga. Tapi the way I respond to it sekarang, jadi apa ya, kalau gue merasa misalnya situasinya udah gak aman nih, gue takut ditinggal misalnya, oh mendingan gue aja yang pergi duluan. Gitu, kalau gue sih kayak gitu. And we're talking about our issues kan. Kath juga tadi kan sempat bilang juga, I think we could relate in a way ya. Maksudnya gue juga gede. Lu dikirim ke Singapura, yeah, tapi kalau gue, my parents dulu kerja banget gitu. Jadi gue dititip. So gue gedenya sebenarnya sama my grandparents. Dan apa ya? Soal belajar. Ya gitu juga sih sebenarnya, namanya Asian parents kan kita semua dinilai dari nilai-nilai di sekolah gitu. Dan jadinya benar-benar mulai ketampar banget sih ketika kita akhirnya mulai berelasi sama orang. Dan ternyata issues yang kita belum beresin itu tumpahnya ke orang lain justru.
That's so true, Andrea. So did you see it, how did you see it play out? Jadi in your relationships gitu dong ya? Kayak, did you used to like leave first?
Iya, yeah, jadi kalau di gue sih, kalau lagi ngomongin attachment style ya, gue jadinya avoidant.
Oh.
Avoidant jadi dismissive avoidant. Kalau gue ngerasa independence gue being threatened, misalnya gue kayak, aduh udah mulai gerah nih sama this person misalnya. There's nothing wrong with the person by the way ya. Itu masalahnya masalah gue gitu loh. And jadinya gue memilih untuk kabur. Flight. Response gue adalah flight. Response itu bisa jadi gue kabur literal ke luar negeri, atau gue putusin pasangan gue, atau gue selingkuh. Gitu. Jadi waktu itu gue ada momen dimana gue nanya ke psychologist gue. Gue sebenarnya non-mono, maksudnya gak monogamous sebenarnya as a human being, atau sebenarnya gara-gara trauma ya. Terus dia akhirnya gitu trace back. Terus dia bilang katanya, ini sih sebenarnya bukannya lu yang non-monogamous ya, tapi ini because of your trauma, this is your defense mechanism gitu. Jadi, understanding our traumas tuh benar-benar helpful banget menurut gue. What about you, Gita?
Iya, Git.
Very interesting. Iya, sering kita itu kalau misalnya belum fix apa yang ada di hati kita, malah ketumpahnya kena orang lain. Dan aku kayaknya sama sih, karena zaman dulu aku itu susah banget connect sama orang. Aku itu defensiveness levelnya itu tinggi banget. Kenapa? Karena zaman dulu, waktu aku growing up,
karena nggak ngomong, aku itu sering dikata-katain orang gitu. Jadi aku itu equate bahwa karena aku nggak fit dengan standar dari masyarakat, artinya I am not worthy gitu. Jadi I have to play by the rules to be loved. Nah, I think kalau seperti ini biasanya you're either gonna play by the rules atau berontak ancur abis-abisan kan. Nah, aku berontak ancur abis-abisan the other way around gitu. Jadi jadi buat aku malah gini, your rules bodo amat, I don't care about your rules. Aku bikin rules sendiri gitu. Walaupun mungkin seringkali rules-nya juga enggak apa-apa, enggak apa sih atau netral atau sebenarnya baik, tapi aku enggak mau ikutin. Jadi aku itu naturally sering defensive, dan itu juga karena walaupun kakakku itu sangat accepting kepada aku, waktu aku masih belum ngomong, aku itu sebenarnya ngerti setiap orang ngomongnya apa. Nah, masalahnya dengan orang autistik yang nggak ngomong adalah seringkali orang pikir bahwa kita literally nggak ngerti. Jadi mereka bisa ngomongin apapun tentang kita, tepat di depan muka kita, thinking bahwa aku itu nggak ngerti. Padahal aku ngerti banget. Wow. Nah, imagine kalau kita itu growing up dan mendengarkan orang ngomongin, aduh kasihan banget ini anak, aduh ini anak emang bodoh ya. Dan itu aku dengerin hampir tiap hari dari semua orang, dari guru-guru, dari anak-anak yang lain. Dan yang paling sedih adalah waktu ayah dan ibuku itu juga gak defend aku immediately. Dan mungkin look, untuk seorang, parentsku saat itu, dia kan juga baru pindah ke Amerika. Dia nggak ngerti apa-apa, dia itu adalah students, dua-duanya itu students, full scholarship lagi. Jadi mereka juga bingung apa yang terjadi dengan anak mereka. Dan mereka juga mungkin nggak tahu bagaimana cara untuk respon ke orang lain, kan. Karena misalnya bisa aja ada yang guru bilang, kita itu sepertinya nggak ada future, dia itu sepertinya mentally terbelakang dan segala hal. Dan imagine bisa mendengarkan semua itu, dan dengan maturity levelku yang hanya maturity level anak SD, melihat orang tuaku nggak cepet-cepet buru-buru defend aku gitu. Kan aku bisa aja ngelihat itu sebagai, oh orang tuaku berpikir itu ya tentang aku. Orang tuaku berpikir bahwa aku itu anaknya kurang baik ya, bahwa aku itu terbelakang ya, dan aku nggak ngomong. Jadi itu benar-benar membentuk diriku untuk menjadi sangat defensif. Jadi only very recently, beberapa tahun terakhir, mungkin 6 tahun terakhir ini atau 7 tahun terakhir ini, aku belajar untuk nggak bikin walls, jadi nggak ngebikin dinding di sekitarku. Jadi aku memperbolehkan orang untuk connect dengan diriku. Karena zaman dulu aku berpikir, kalau aku itu orangnya aneh, kalau aku orangnya dikata-katain, karena aku nggak quote-unquote normal atau I look normal, whatever that means, artinya ya udah, why try gitu kan, why bother gitu. Dan and that was what happened. Jadi orang itu sering ngerasa, kenapa ya dia itu susah banget connect sama dia, atau kenapa ya dia itu dari from the outside cepet misalnya motong, atau cepet misalnya nggak mau follow up, atau misalnya lebih pengen ngomongin hal-hal yang nggak personal, jadi cuma mau ngomongin misalnya hal-hal yang theoretical gitu. That was what happened. Tapi selama I'd say 7 tahun terakhir ini, aku pengen lebih connect dengan other people, karena kalau aku saja berpikir seperti ini, betapa banyak orang yang sebenarnya berpikir sama.
Yeah, Gita, and that's another thing that I really admire about you and Andrea and Kat. As, maksudnya, we've just heard about how you've been brought up and the hardships and the judgments that you've had to kind of experience, the misunderstandings. Tapi terus akhirnya, you're able to extract what is useful for you, what is meaningful for you, and make it into a higher kind of manifestation than like, malah bukan jadi victim, tapi you become better, you become more mature, you become more understanding and compassionate from that experience, you know, Git? And that's so beautiful, you know?
Thank you. I learned that from my friends juga, karena aku lihat sebenarnya kalau aku nggak open dan aku nggak vulnerable, the person in front of me juga nggak akan open and vulnerable. Jadi, I'm very blessed and grateful bahwa aku ketemu teman-teman yang
that are you ladies, that I met all of you actually, karena waktu aku ketemu kalian semua, aku itu waktu when I offered you all who I am, you opened the door, and that's very meaningful.
Tapi satu hal ya, kayak gue pertama kali kenal Gita, kenal Talita, maybe kenal Andrea juga, gue tuh orangnya lumayan apa loh, like lumayan perfectionist ya. I really want to be vulnerable. Mungkin Gita ingat kali ya.
Yes.
Karena gue gak mau orang itu ngejudge gue. Dan ini sebenarnya berhubung banget sih sama my childhood. Karena gue inget banget, the first few months of being in Singapore, gue kan kayak orang Indonesia, bahasa Inggris aja gak bisa. My Chinese also wasn't very good. Jadi pas kesana itu, I was like a foreigner. I was a kid that just joined the class halfway throughout the year. And I felt so lonely. And gue itu ingat banget, kayak I still have this image in my head when gue lagi jawab satu pertanyaan dari guru. Guru ini kayak told me like, oh, your answer is wrong. Like, you should not even bother even answering. And that was so mean. And gue itu sejak that experience, I really want to be wrong. I'm such a perfectionist. Gue itu takut banget untuk salah di depan mata orang. Karena it really brings me back to like when I was young, being like a child, a little girl who was just being put down for something she didn't know, which I feel even up till now, like I had spent like the last 6-7 years just, you know, trying to be wrong.
Oh my god, Kat, and that's why like you're my weird twin, because I had that moment too in a classroom, you know, pas di New Zealand juga gak bisa bahasa Inggris. Terus I accidentally said something embarrassing. Soalnya my teacher asked me randomly in front of the class, kan dia tanya, oh Talita, since you speak Indonesian, I'm wondering, kamu tuh waktu bermimpi, is it in Indonesian or is it in English gitu kan? Terus aku bilang, pas aku mimpi itu semuanya dalam bahasa Indonesia. Even when I dream about you, you speak Indonesian, like talking to the teacher, talking about the teacher. Terus seluruh kelas tuh ketawa cekakaan, mereka bilang, kamu kenapa ngimpiin guru sih? Soalnya gurunya is a guy, right? I was like, oh my god. Just that simple thing, and the whole class laughing, it still stuck with me.
So it was a very shameful, it was like very scary, and it was like, for me, gue look back and like, I can even feel the fear that I had, which is crazy, right? How much childhood really impacts how you behave. Dan setelah itu, gue tahu banget bahwa satu, I'm always striving to be like the best. Two, I never want to be wrong. And three, I never discuss about how I feel towards like other people, because gue nggak ngerasa bahwa they're gonna help me. Like, I'm on my two own feet. Like, that's it. It's so silly to now like look back and be like, gila ya, like if I only received help like so much younger, when I was so much younger, maybe I would become a better person. But who knows, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, everything's the way it's meant to be, right, Kat? Yeah. Maybe I relate to you so much. Aku sampai kayak merinding sih dengerin you share.
Crazy.
Soalnya like I'm also perfectionist. Terus kayak I also don't want to share my vulnerability. Aku tuh pernah kayak di depan salah satu business owner, oh my god, I'm so competitive as well amongst business people. Ada salah satu, my arch rival, according to Simon Sinek, it's okay to have a worthy rival, right? One time, itu, I was in a workshop with her.
Yeah.
I told her, we talked about the story of our childhood. I talked about the story of how I had to close my first two outlets lah. Gini, gini, gini. Terus after I shared all that, I felt like so good, right? I was like, oh wow, I was brave. I shared my story. Terus after that workshop, dia ngomong, oh, ternyata kamu gitu ya, gini, gini. And I was like, oh my god, I felt so naked. You know, like she saw that. Turns out I wasn't perfect. I just felt so weird. It's like what's that thing, that term that Jordan said, the vulnerability hangover?
Oh, the vulnerability hangover. Yeah.
Tal, gue, Gita was to witness this also. Like, I was in competition with another, like, influencer for...
Sorry, I'm dying because I remember
And
this.
I I look back and I was like, that was such a waste of my energy. Like, why? Like, I could have just focused on myself. But it was like, man. I was so insecure. Mm-hmm. I was like in constant fear of people like judging me or like being better than me. And I have nothing to say, but it's like, you know what? During my childhood, it wasn't so good. That's why, like, when I grew up, I became a certain person. But I look back now and I think thank God I went through that phase. Now I know.
Yeah, man.
It's interesting, yeah. The insecurities that all of you are talking about. It's very interesting to think about how many of us are living through life, you know, working out of our insecurity, basically because we think we have to do something to earn love.
Yeah.
So true.
So true. So true. And like a question I asked Talita, when did you realize that, you know, love was actually kind of conditional to you, right? Gue baru sadar ini tahun lalu pas di point out sama terapis gue. And this is what he said. He was like, did you realize that one of your parent figure was just never around and you just had so much to prove to him that any kind of love that you receive, there's a condition to it. Like, contohnya, gue harus kurus baru gue bisa pacaran sama orang. Gue harus sukses baru gue deserve to, like, have these achievements. And I feel like, oh my God, it just makes so much sense. Kayak, I never knew how much childhood could impact. And, like, in the next few weeks when we're gonna talk about, like, sebenarnya impact-nya kemana aja sih, maupun itu kayak masuk ke eating disorder lah, mau itu excessive or compulsion to like exercise excessively, or even in toxic relationships, gue ngerasa like it's all like linked. All of these are super related to each other.
Wow, that's so true, Kat. And I'm really curious about Andrea now. Like, Dea, can you share about how you've been brought up, maybe the parenting style of your parents, and how it's kind of given you maybe any insecurity or even just a different way of looking at things from where you are?
Kalau gue sih udah tadi Gita udah nyebut sih bener. Like, when you're dikekang kayak gitu, tinggal cuma ada dua pilihan kan, yang satu nurut banget atau yang satu kayak no.
Yes.
Langsung resistance, langsung kayak defensive. Nah, kalau gue jadi yang resistance and defensive. Jadi gue lebih tipenya yang I want to prove people wrong. Karena dari dulu selalu dibilang gue yang salah gitu. Jadi no, I know I'm not doing anything wrong, so I'm gonna prove you wrong. Gitu, gue jadi kompetitif banget in that sense sih. Tapi sebenarnya gue pengen nanya ke kalian ini ya, justru gue pengen nanya, how do we draw the line ya? Kalau yang kita kan selalu ada quote-quote yang bilang, love me for who I am gitu loh. Sedangkan ada orang-orang juga yang akhirnya jadinya lain ya, gue kan emang kayak gini orangnya. What do you think about those sayings gitu?
What I think about those sayings? To be really honest, if I were to say that, yeah, gue kan kayak imagine, if I were to say that to like my partner or to like my close one, my loved ones, you have to accept me for who I am. But what if the version of me wasn't really my best self? What if like 10 people that you asked for advice or asked for feedback about you said that you're really just a very mean or hurtful person? Like, should you not like listen?
Exactly.
Menurut gue itu kayak itu penting sih. Like, I think it's being able to like balance that out, right? Because I understand that there are people who might not like you for who you are, but I think if the patterns are there, contohnya kalau dari 100 orang yang lo nanya, 8 atau 90 orang bilang lo itu kayak emang hurtful, mean, moody, I think you should listen. I think it's fair to like listen to other people. Because as a perfectionist, gue juga ngerasa bahwa dulu gue itu dulu gak suka banget terima suggestions or feedback dari orang lain. Because I'm like, I'm way better than you. Like, I know all of this.
Same.
Like, who are you to tell me, right? But I think I learned this from Gita too. Like, there is no harm in taking feedback from other people.
What I realized also, Kat, like, oh my God, so same. Like, I also never liked feedback and I still don't like it now. When I hear back from, like, my investors, kadang-kadang I'm like, you don't know, you know, like, things like that. Tapi I realize it's also my tendency to blame, kan? Like, it's me being in victim mode and like, nobody understands me. Like, I have to like knowingly, consciously realize like, damn, you know, that's being in victim mode. That's not an empowered way to be. And all I'm doing is blaming instead of like taking responsibility and having accountability that I attracted these experiences, right?
Yeah.
And there's something to learn behind these.
Yeah.
Gimana Git? I sorry, Andrea.
Itu, I think that's the keyword ya, Tal, ya. Accountability. Karena maksudnya gini ya.
Yeah.
Mau sampai kapan sih kita mau blame our parents for the way they raised us gitu loh.
Oh, bener banget.
For the way our childhood shaped us. Mau sampai kapan kita nyalain mereka juga. Yeah. At some point, we need to take responsibility to heal. Gitu loh.
Move on. Preach, you gotta move on.
Yeah. And heal. Gitu. Gita, I'm sure Gita has a lot to say on this juga sih.
Yeah, Git.
For me, menurut aku itu ada perbedaan antara changing and becoming your better self out of a place of lack atau a place of love gitu. Jadi perbedaannya adalah kalau yang satu itu berbasis insecurity. Jadi kamu takut kehilangan orang atau kamu takut kehilangan sesuatu. Jadi kamu mengubah diri sendiri agar bisa earn love itu. Menurut aku kalau kita mencoba merubah diri sendiri out of a place of lack, itu biasanya sering either berubahnya jadi agak ya nggak genuine, nggak authentic, atau perubahannya itu nggak long lasting gitu. Karena kita itu semuanya dari a place of insecurity. Nah perbedaannya kan dengan misalnya someone like Pandu gitu. Dia itu kan unconditionally accept aku. Dan sekarang aku kawin dengan Simon. Dia unconditionally accept aku. Bukan berarti unconditionally accept, ya udah kita lu ngawur aja sana sekalian. Enggak, tetapi dia itu accept aku just the way I am, yang membuat aku mau menjadi lebih baik karena it's coming out of a place of love, bukan dari place of lack gitu. Karena aku cinta diri sendiri, aku cinta diriku ini seperti ini sekarang, makanya aku mau menjadi orang yang lebih baik. So it's actually a different way of looking at change. Karena yang kalau kata orang, ya accept me the way I am, ya sure, tetapi bukan berarti orang itu malah mau menjadi stagnan atau mau nggak pernah berubah. Enggak, malah because you love yourself, because you appreciate yourself, because you value yourself, and because the people around you value you, whether or not you achieve anything, it actually makes you want to become a more elevated person. It makes you want to learn. That's my thing.
Wow, that's so true.
Yeah, Gita and her powerful words, kan?
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, that's so true, Gita. Like, and that reminded me of a quote I heard from Brené Brown. Oh my gosh, she's so beautiful talking about vulnerability, right? Yang dia bilang katanya, you'll be kidding yourself if you say that you don't care what everybody thinks. You do care.
Yes.
Maybe we just have to choose whose thoughts that we care about. Like those people that love us and accept us unconditionally. And also honest with us, kan? Maksudnya, hey, that's not on. Hey, I know you're better than this, gitu kan?
Yes, exactly. And I love Brené Brown juga. Karena if it's not out of a place of love dan vulnerability, kita itu akan terus mengejar sesuatu yang hampa.
That's so awesome. Oh man, girls, it's been such a powerful session. And I'm just so excited to be here with all of you and to do more episodes with all of you. So yeah, like every single time we come together, I feel like I learn something new.
I definitely learned something new.
So what's your takeaway, Kat?
My takeaway? I think our childhood experience definitely shapes us to who we are. And I think there is no right or wrong, because the fundamental question that I'm actually more curious to learn about is what happened to all of us when we're young, and what happened to us before, and like how did it change or impact you the way you are today. And I hope that, you know, through really sharing our vulnerability, we are able to like empower each other and to learn from each other and to maybe make the world a kinder place. Yeah, that's my takeaway.
Oh, I so agree with that. Andrea, what's your takeaway?
Kalau takeaway gue sih, ini yang tadi udah Gita udah ngomongin terakhir, kena banget di gue. Kalau memang if we want to change, change for the better, bukan supaya kita diterima. Bukan supaya kita berangkat dari place of masih people pleasing gitu loh, jadi codependent misalnya. Jadi emang bener kalau kita berubah, it's to become the apa ya, the best version of ourselves.
So gorgeous. Thank you, Dea. And Git?
Well, begitu banyak. Misalnya, Andrea itu adalah keturunan dari GKI. No. But for reals, reals. Enggak. Jadi, aku itu merasa tiap kali aku ketemu sama kalian semua as that I just learned something new. Nah, sebenarnya yang selalu aku pelajarin time and time again adalah pelajaran yang sama, which is kita itu jauh lebih similar than we are different. Dan itu adalah sesuatu pelajaran yang menurut aku kalau aja kita semua bisa lebih sering melakukan ini, di mana kita melihat similarities kita satu sama lain daripada perbedaan kita, mungkin kita semua bisa lebih belajar get along dan juga belajar respect dan gak ngejudge satu sama lain.
Oh, I love that. Thank you, Git. And my takeaway is that vulnerability is a good thing. Honesty is a good thing. It really, and I realize that judgment is a defense mechanism, you know, it's just trying to play into the story of our insecurity, right? And trying to like justify our victim mode, which is not a place where I want to be. So this is why I'm so excited for us to go on this journey and do more Taboo Tuesday podcasts, because we are going to cover more juicy episodes, more real episodes, more honest episodes, and more vulnerable moments together, so that we can, yeah, like break down these walls of beliefs and get to know one another, different perspectives, different upbringings, and to see the humanity in one another, right? And this is, I think this is why the four of us are able to kind of come together and have this singular vision, right? So that the world can be a kinder place and a fairer place. So maybe, Andrea, can you share with our listeners what our next episode is going to be on?
So stay tuned for our next episode. Soalnya next episode ini kita akan ngomongin tentang sandwich generation. And nanti akan ada tips-tips untuk financial management juga sedikit dari kita-kita ini, dari kami. See you.
Oh, that's exciting. Yaudah, kalau gitu, thank you so much for listening to our first Taboo Tuesday episode. And I hope that you gain something from today's session. And I hope that we can see you again next episode.
Don't forget to share with us your comments and feedback to our Instagram, tabootuesday.com.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.